Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Gary Neron welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry, taking a book of the Bible verse by verse, teaching as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology, speaking the truth in love, and our purpose is to give the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study of Hebrews chapter 12, we were taught how the idea of the witnesses mentioned in verse 1 does not mean we are being watched, but speaks of the example left to us of these great people of God. Let's continue with that subject today. Now, here's our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Too often, preachers have taught how our loved ones are watching us, who've run the race. And he says, so they're up there, and they've got us surrounded, and as they've surrounded us, they're watching us. But the wherefore connects it to the old saints of chapter 11. Those are all under the Old Testament. The word witnesses in verse 1 here, we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. That word witnesses is important here. It's from the Greek word martis. In the legal Greek documents of that day, the term was used of witnesses to what they both saw and knew. In Bible Greek, it is used in an ethical sense of the word to designate those who have proven their stated faith by a willingness to die violent death and suffer for their faith. Now, not all died, but all willingly suffer, and they're willing to suffer and die if necessary. And so we have that in this 11th chapter of these witnesses. Now, I don't look at the cloud of witnesses as Old Testament saints with our loved ones in heaven watching us. They're watching what we're doing instead of seeing what's in heaven. You know, I mean, that's really, when you think about it, to think that those people that are seeing all the glories of heaven, its beauty, the Lord Jesus Christ, seeing everything they're seeing, do you think they really want to look down here and see our miserable, sinful lives the way we live them? Now, there's a great cloud of witnesses, a great number of witnesses. And the idea here of the great number of witnesses is referring to the example left by these people. The example is that we can overcome in Christ through Jesus Christ our Lord. We can be overcomers through faith. And so, my friend, we know that we can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. And so when you look back here and you see people that were tempted or slain with the sword and wandered in sheepskins and goatskins, were destitute, afflicted, and tormented, when you see them wandering in deserts and mountains and caves of the earth, when you're seeing they're beheaded, when they're among lions, when you're seeing people having to suffer things that many of these had to suffer, when you think of Rahab, who is even in the New Testament, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not. And so even though that sin is past, it's under the blood, she's still referred to as the harlot. And so, my friend, we see that it's the witness of their lives and of what they overcame is a witness for us. And this fits the word witness in that all these examples of chapter 11 serve as an example that we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, there are many examples that are listed in chapter 11. And the reason for that is to show that God is not limited. As a matter of fact, chapter 11 covers a lot of time. It even went back to the blood of Abel. And so you think of all that time that it covers. It shows that God is faithful in every generation. We only need to trust Him. So after being in that beautiful holy place of heaven, there's no way those saints that have died, gone beyond, be with the Lord, there's no way they desire to look down and see our corruption, our sin, our failures as Christians. You know, there's a lot of things that I don't want them to see. You realize Samuel, one guy that was allowed to come back, he came back and he was mad as he could be as King Saul. He said, "What have you called me up for?" And he wasn't a happy camper, so to speak. He didn't want to leave the place where he was. So these people in chapter 11, these people that you may read about like in Fox's Book of Martyrs, these people like many who have been killed in the last 50 years for the faith, for their faith in Christ Jesus and in many foreign lands. Those are records, witnesses calling us to stand. They are witnesses that tell you that you can be a man or you can be a woman of faith. As the one tennis shoe commercial used to say, just do it. Now, in light of those in chapter 11, we can run a better race, have a better message, and a better hope in this New Testament era, because we know things they desired to know. Now, we're not told to, as a result of the heritage of the godly who were before us, to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. We're not told just to do that because it's a command and that's something you ought to do. We're told that because that's an act of faith. It's an act that trusts God, that knows that laying aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us is something that is for our benefit and for our good. That's when you trust God that you know every command is for your good. Now he says, let us lay aside every weight. A weight is something that I take up, but I do not really need it. Now we're not speaking of duty. What is really a duty is never a weight. Matthew Henry states, all inordinate affection and concern for the body, the present life, and the world become weights. Now, I would add, it is sometimes trying to live up to a preconceived notion of what people have that you should be as regards your position in life. Instead of doing the duty with your all, that is assigned by God to you, we just do what is necessary to get by. You see, we must personally seek to know what God expects and then do it with our whole heart. I believe that that is what God would have us to do. And I know that's what he'd have us to do. And do it with our all. Oliver B. Green, in speaking about a weight, said, a weight is anything that hinders our spiritual growth and the effectiveness of our testimony. That word weight comes from a Greek word meaning bulk, mass. Hence, it's a swelling, or it's an idea of your flesh, it swells up and it gets big. Now, that's pretty nice. In our terms, we're saying fat, okay? And so here we're being told to trim the fat. And a lot of us don't like to hear that terminology, to trim the fat, but that's what we're being told here. And, of course, this is not talking about bodily fat, but fat that is of a nature that it gets in our life. It's not evil in and of itself, but keeps us from being what we ought to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, as we look at life as a race, the word is emphasizing our need to discipline ourselves in biblical spiritual things in order that we are not encumbered while running the race that we're running with the idea of winning. winning. We're reminded in 1 Corinthians 9:24-27, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth a prize? So run that ye may obtain. Now every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now let me just stop there in verse 25 of 1 Corinthians 9 and say this about the word temperate. Temperate is doing what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it. It's not doing what you're not supposed to do. Okay, so temperate is a two-edged sword. Doing what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it, and not doing what you're not supposed to do. So, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, and not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, friend, weights are things which are not necessarily evil in and of themselves. For example, they may be things like sports, investments, hobbies, politics. And the point is that they may not be evil in and of themselves. Let's just take golf. Now, I'm not a golfer, so I can use this very comfortably. I'm not a golfer. But a guy that gets a putter in his hand and hits the ball and tries to knock it in the hole, he practices that, and he hits it 25, 30 times. Now, is there anything wrong with him practicing the putt? No. There's nothing evil in and of itself of the guy practicing putting. None whatever. However, his mind gets so involved with his golf, it so occupies that it keeps him from knowing and pursuing the will of God in his life. Now, we are being encouraged as to do the right things in order to win the race. And so a lot of times, it's just the fact that that thing takes so much time. Revival meeting is going on in your church. It's fall. And maybe your favorite college football team is playing a night game. And you have to make a choice. Now, is the football game evil in and of itself? Some would say so because of all the physical contact in it. But essentially, what really becomes evil is when that becomes more important to us, that we would stay home and watch it. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address for the Lamp and Light broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And again, our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Gary Neron, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.
Stand so the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my